I think the happiest I've been is when I stopped focusing on some sort of future goal and like, I'm going to be happy when we reach this goal. I'm going to be happy when we reach this money milestone. I'm going to be happy when we finally get the new studio. I'm going to be happy when this happens, right? Yeah. I've stopped thinking about it like you become happy when and started thinking about just like enjoy what we're doing right now.
This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Flowchart with your boy.
My boy.
Matt Wolf and Joe Fair.
Hey.
The button has been pressed.
Yes, welcome back.
We're actually recording this thing.
We are recording another one of these things.
One of these things. What are these things?
I think.
What do we call these things?
I think it's pronounced Poodcast.
Poodcast.
It's a Poodcast.
Is Poodcast.com taken yet?
I guarantee it.
Dang it.
And you probably don't want to know what it is.
Okay, no one go there.
Nobody
or
go
some
there.
Some brave soul does. Post it in the group and tell us what you found. Flowchartgroup.com. Because we're going to start it off with the call to action.
Yes.
You know you're going to want the notes of whatever we talk about today. Now, yeah. We're going to tell you what we're about to chat about. But,
yes.
You know, before that, just head over to flowchartgroup.com within 2 weeks. Go get these notes for free.
Yes.
We got you. And you can go join that group and tell us what's on poodcast.com.
Yes.
Or not.
Yeah. Get into our Facebook group and tell us what's there. We don't want to go see. We don't know. We also have a sponsor of this episode. That sponsor is... If you need to record your screen or your webcam or both so you can make things like product demos and customer testimonials, live stream Q&As, if you want to make videos just really quick, you need to go check out Vidyard. With Vidyard, you can even upload marketing videos and embed them into email campaigns, right on landing pages, right into blog posts. You can embed them everywhere for all of your sales-ready leads. You could use these interactive video elements and these like cool video personalizations to boost the engagement and accelerate the buyer journey. It's a really, really cool tool. It's got all the analytics you need to know how your videos are performing. It's just a really, really cool video tool over at Vidyard. And I highly recommend signing up for Vidyard for free today. Simply go over to vidyard.com/flow. And just like you guys, the team over at Vidyard, they can't keep up with all the promo codes and things like that that are being shouted out on podcasts. So all you got to do is go to vidyard.com/flow. Don't have to worry about a coupon code. Just vidyard.com/flow. They're hooking you up with Vidyard completely for free. And they're going to hook you up with a 2021 B2B video trends guide. Go check it out. vidyard.com/flow. Okay, we're back. That was a good sponsor spot.
Hey,
yeah.
That was cool. So, this episode is the two of us.
Just the two of
Just
us.
Just the two of us.
Making castles in the sky.
Yeah.
Already off the rails.
Off the rails. That's what we do on these casts, these poodcasts.
These poodcasts.
So,
what are we talking about?
We're talking about a handful of things. This one's a little bit more. We're trying to reel in the structure of these therapy sessions, solos, duo sessions, we'll say, not solos.
Yeah.
You are not here.
You are
an illusion of you're just myself in a different form.
I like duet because most people, when they think of a duet, they think of like a man and a woman duet, but
duet
with me. There's a song. There was like that Johnny Cash, like mockumentary kind of thing with John C. Reilly, Walk Hard. And one of their songs was called Duet With Me.
Duet With Me.
Duet With Me.
Duet. We should play it. We should get the rights to that song.
We should
ask them if it's up for rights.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not worth it either, to be honest.
We'll do some research and come back to you.
I mean, you could probably YouTube it.
Probably. That's okay in the YouTube lands, right? Everything's fair game.
Everything. All right. So what are we talking about again?
We're talking about a handful of things. We're being more structured with these.
Okay. So good start.
This is where we start with everything. Always off the rails to start.
We'll rein it in.
We do. We will. So we want to talk about the direction of where we want to take this show in terms of the guests we're bringing on, the topics we're talking about, what we're interested in, like how we're, sharing the things we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of stuff, but what we've realized is we want to chat to kind of to the entrepreneur that was us 10 years ago, let's say. You know, when we were kind of starting out, that was like the first few years of our journey into business. And it's like, you know, it's been a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot missed when we don't like kind of have that perspective in mind and speak to who would be us, but maybe it's you, or maybe you're starting a business from beginning, or maybe you're like restarting something from scratch and want to go back to basics. I kind of want to think about this way. It's almost like, hey, what are these foundational principles that have gotten us to where we are? But like, if we can maybe in this episode start by plucking out what are the handful of things that we would have told ourselves, mm-hmm. like our 10-year-old younger self would have really appreciated.
You know, 10 years ago, we were actually doing what we're doing now.
Yeah, that's why we got to go up maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah, so we...
Okay, hold on. Let's go back to the garage days.
The garage days.
The samurai videos in your garage, you and I wearing horribly cut off Corona t-shirts. It was on Friday nights. We were drinking Corona.
Probably.
skunk beer. Yeah. Proudly sponsored by... No.
I don't think we're getting a sponsorship by them now.
No, it's just Snoop Dogg gets all the sponsorships for Corona. No, but yeah, we would go on Friday nights and, like, you know, we'd be hanging out, the, you know, the wives and us, we get in, the dogs we bring, those were our families.
You know what I should do? What? I should give Jacob the clips from the samurai. You already knew where I was going, huh?
Of course you did.
Give Jacob the clips from the samurai videos and let him overlay him onto this episode so you can see us in our silly Corona cutoffs in front of a samurai drinking beers.
Hell yeah.
Just don't play the audio, it's embarrassing, but the video, we could show the video.
Yeah, so that's where it started though, man. That was us, like, that was before we knew what the hell we were doing, but we were consuming a ton of content. We were not listening to a lot of podcasts. We were watching a lot of YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. That was before we knew of podcasts. But those, I mean, it's very similar to, I think, a lot of folks who might be listening right now to us or whoever. I mean, just like little nuggets of things along the way. It'd be cool to share these. Mm-hmm. But going back to those days, like, when was that? Was like maybe 13, 14 years ago?
Yeah, that would have been around 2007-ish. So that's 13-ish years ago.
We were still very much into the Chargers.
We were, yes. But, you know, so...
Those days have sailed.
So I do want to say something else, too. We're going to talk about, like, what we would tell ourselves, you know, 13 years ago. Like, what do we wish we knew back then that we know now, right? And then another, like, segment of this therapy session is we've been sending some emails out. So if you're not on our list, get on our list. Flowchartgroup.com is the best place to go do it. But we've been sending out these emails saying, hey, what are your questions? What, you know, what are you struggling with in your business right now? Where, you know... Where can we serve? Where can we help you? And we've been getting a whole bunch of people email us back with questions and things they want to hear us talk about. So I think first half is like, this is the thing we want to talk about right now. Second half, cool, let's dive into some of the questions that have come through.
For sure.
So I just want to say that that's coming. So if you emailed us a question, stick around because we are going to be answering a bunch of questions at the end of the episode.
Actually, there's some in the group I posted this morning. So I bet there's some questions. We'll check there. There are mysteries because I have not looked at them yet. And the overall theme, I think, in this whole thing is we want to... So going back to like the vision of what we've been thinking about in terms of our content is to really start to identify, you know, different guests that can maybe help our younger selves, but also now selves, think differently and maybe get past some hurdles and roadblocks a little quicker, easier. Like, it's not to... It's not going to remove the struggles, but it's going to maybe have you struggle in a smarter way, you know, maybe where you're going to tackle a bigger challenge rather than like the minute one that you might think is the big one. You know, there's a lot of perspective changes that we've had over the last 13, 14 years from learning from different mentors, learning about different ways of thinking. That isn't like just do this and, you know, it's like, oh, well, we might not even have to do anything.
Yeah.
But if you think this way, then that thing can happen. And but yeah, so let's so I think the overall theme of everything we do is to like figure out what are these things that we can pass along to you as well.
Yeah. Well, before we hit record, we were kind of throwing around some ideas and then we were like, all right, we need to hit record because otherwise we're going to forget them. So let's start. Where did you want to start with this?
Like, we can start. I was thinking we talk about some of the things that come to mind for us in different categories of life, business, whatever, just ways of thinking that we can, that come to mind that we would want to pass to our younger selves that, you know, maybe it's mindset. Maybe we start there because I think that you brought that up right before recording. So we've been doing a lot of that lately.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start there. So I'll share one of my biggest kind of like mindset things that I wish I knew 13, 15 years. I mean, quite honestly, I wish I knew this when I was a kid, right? Is the enjoy the journey. And I feel like this is sort of like cliched and talked about so much, but there's a reason it's a cliche and it's talked about so much is that I think the happiest I've been is when I stopped focusing on some sort of future goal. And like, I'm going to be happy when we reach this goal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be happy when we reach this money milestone. I'm going to be happy when we finally get the new studio. I'm going to be happy when this happens, right? Yeah. I've stopped thinking about it like you become happy when, and started thinking about just like enjoy what we're doing right now. Like, this is going to be fun. This is like literally on our mixing board in front of us right now are the words, "This is going to be fun," because I've shifted my thinking into, let's just make everything fun. Let's make everything enjoyable, right? We're obviously figuring out how to make a business out of it and make money from doing the things that are fun.
Yeah.
But we need to be enjoying the journey and not waiting until some future thing happens to start the enjoyment part, right? And I feel like that's kind of been really big, and I wish I always had that philosophy, but it hasn't been till fairly recently, unfortunately, that my brain kind of shifted to the like, let's just make every day freaking fun and then figure out how to make money off of that funness that we're having.
Go back from that point on, just like almost know like today needs to be fun because that's the default. That's what has to happen.
Yeah. And I feel like we've done probably like at least minimum two episodes about that exact topic. Yeah. So we don't have to go too deep down that rabbit hole, but I would say from a mindset perspective, that's probably been one of the biggest like shifts in my brain.
I think that's a big one. Mm-hmm. It's a huge one. It's timely, of course, because we have been talking about it. But yeah, man, I mean, I guess on that regard, I think what I did, so this actually, yeah, you bring up a point, because I think my default is to be in the fun mode. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always been like, when I was a kid and doing other, like, I didn't want to have a schedule. I didn't want to be, I wanted to just have fun and feel free and do things all the time, go outside and go play. I was always do that, try new things. Mm-hmm. So, it is cool because now we're doing that in our business, but now we're actually realizing that every like work, things that seem maybe every day, we could still spin them into be fun and play in some way. Like, that's what we've done here in the show. Mm-hmm. But I know for me throughout, so now talking to my younger self is be wary of losing the fun along the way, because I think my natural self is to default to fun. But when my personality is be excited and stack more things or try new things and and then quickly it can be leading to overwhelm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with our entrepreneurial spirit, we always want to get more things done or do more. So I think that kind of is a recipe for no fun.
Yeah.
You know, well, at least it has been for me. So I've actually experienced kind of a resurgence of fun.
Yeah.
Both of us. But like for me, I think it's like my default is now becoming a little more back to normal, balanced. So it's interesting and timely for me too, that that has been a thing. It's like, damn it, Joe, have more fun. Like, it's not need to go to the office today. It's like, I freaking get to go there because that's like it's my place.
Yeah.
You know, this is our pad to do whatever the hell we want, but it's like, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's work. It's getting shit done. It's doing cool things, but it's fun along the way.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and then, you know, staying on the mindset path, I think another one that I would tell myself earlier is to trust other people to do stuff in the business, right? Like, how long in the business, and I'm legitimately asking you, how long in the business did I run the Facebook ads, build all the landing pages, all the SEO?
I saw you in there just this morning.
Still, well, I check in on numbers.
Okay. I didn't know what you're doing. I just saw the Facebook ads manager up.
I mean, you know, just how long did I write? How long was I editing the podcasts, writing the emails?
You know, zero and zero in the last, I don't know, editing. You haven't edited in like 3 or 4 years, years maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah, now, but I'm saying what I'm saying is like, I wish a lot earlier on, would have handed stuff off to other people and trusted them. But I had this kind of mindset of like, it's not that hard to do it, so I'll just do it. And I kind of have a flow and a system, so nobody else is going to be able to do it as good or as quick as me, right? I had that kind of mindset about a lot of stuff. The you know, probably the biggest ones were the editing and the emails and the writing the show notes for the episodes and all of that kind of stuff, which is literally not even on my radar anymore, you know?
It's true. Yeah, no, that's
we got people like Jacob and Joe Kearns who just like they owned that piece of the business now. Like that's their part,
and
you know.
Sue on the show notes.
And so Sue on the show notes. Yeah,
we have trusted folks to execute. Yeah, man. I'm thinking because we so maybe through the course of ping pong in this, we should kind of one of us maybe bring up a new topic and ping pong like your perspective to your younger self, or because definitely the way that we show up differently, but obviously when we're speaking, it's good perspective to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we have like both sides of the spectrum in a way, mm-hmm. like the way we act on those things.
Right.
Like I've always been pretty quick to letting go of a lot of pieces of my business, mm-hmm. but also I was very like not systems oriented and I felt like I was just working my ass off mm-hmm. for far too long. So I don't know. Maybe it's different than that statement that you just gave. But I know for me, it's like I was able to outsource a lot. I would say outsource because I did a lot of project-based stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, I guess you held on to a lot of things and did a lot of stuff yourself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I didn't do that, but I would just make a lot of work for myself, I think, in the delegation, I guess.
Like, yeah.
So I think, yeah, speaking to my younger self is either partner or really listen to Matt at a younger age and like figure out some simple systems or just like have someone to help me with that.
Yeah.
You know, and just like help me kind of like be my assistant or someone.
Well, and along the same lines too, there's the element of sort of overinflating the importance of things.
That's another big one.
Yeah. So like there's been a lot of times where I'm like, I'll start to stress out because I'll make myself a task list and mm-hmm. I'll be like, I got to get through this stuff today. This is my list for the day. And I might have like three things left on the list. I'm like, I'm not getting to it all today. And then I'll go look at my list again. And it might be like, make sure I respond inside the Facebook community. Mm-hmm. If that waits till tomorrow, is that really going to impact
you
that
much? You
know
what's crazy is like, because I... when it comes to social media, it's like, you know, like I just avoid it like the plague. And even when it's on a task list, I think my mind is like numb to not look at it. So I feel bad when I don't. I check in there every maybe few days. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like those are the things that will still eat at me. And but then I'll go in there. I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. Everything is okay.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. So there's I would say that'd be another piece of advice is like, you know, really kind of focus on the vital and, you know, really figure out what's important. What are the needle moving things in your business? Make sure you get those things done first. And then all the other little minutia stuff, the checking in on social media, the responding to all your inboxes and emails. And I say inboxes because we've got people messages on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook and email and
multiple emails.
Yeah. It's just there's so many different messages to check in on. And, you know, over time, my philosophy has kind of been, well, I'll check in on all my message places once per day. Mm. And worst case scenario, everybody hears from me within 24 hours of messaging me. Mm-hmm. And just keeping it that simple has worked well for me.
And even if that doesn't work, it's all right. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's definitely something I've let go of myself is not feel like everything's of uber importance.
Yeah.
And as what you just said, and it goes into just like for me being the more connector type outward facing communicator, mm-hmm. there's sometimes just, you know, things will get lost in the inboxes, mm-hmm. you know, and I remember my younger self struggling with some of this too, but now it's like exponential, you know, and things are much quicker. So it's having a good system. We chatted about that last week on the podcast. And
thinking through all of this right now, I'm like, I'm starting to feel like probably all of the advice we would tell to our younger selves is going to be more focused around mindset and bigger picture thinking.
Well, isn't it always?
Yeah.
Like it's so funny.
So like breaking it into buckets, like I'm starting to realize almost every bucket we would break it into is almost like a subset of the mindset bucket.
Maybe mindset or strategy.
Yeah.
And strategy, that is. Because I do have something in mind on the strategy side, multiple things. Mm-hmm. Let's just go there for a sec. Because
yeah,
we can always bounce back. But the platform way of thinking. Mm. So let me go off for a little
way
bit.
Way of thinking, well, mindset.
Yes, mindset. There you go. It is, but I think it's more of a strategy too.
Like
a mental model. I don't know, whatever. I guess mindset would be strategy in its own way, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Thinking strategy.
This is sort of it's a pivot in the approach to business.
Approach to business is a good,
good
way to put it. So speaking to our younger selves, I think you would agree with me, is creating a content machine that allows you to not only grow your brand through like putting things out into the world and being able to share it in SEO and all that mm-hmm. stuff, but connecting with highly connected, successful, whoever people, mm-hmm. in pretty much anyone you want to connect with on the planet. you can engineer that yourself by creating your own platform. And we have done that through our podcast and through
YouTube
other
channel now.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done a YouTube channel and, you know, hustleandflowchart.tv, of course.
Yes.
Is where you should subscribe. Hit that bell. And also
smash it.
Email list. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these things are our own platform that we've built over the years, but really it's on the back of the podcast. Any consistent thing that we can invite people in our network and then create these referral engines.
Yeah.
Like that is what drives everything we do. And over time, we're building a media platform out. And we've had this in our vision for now. It's been like 4 years-ish or so, maybe before. Like I learned this from Amish Shah, my old partner back in the day, is like think in terms of platforms, but you can leverage platforms to build your own platform. So like leveraging YouTube and leveraging podcasts and, you know, Apple, Spotify, all these things, but then building our unified hustle and flow chart, like we're remaking the website finally and building a platform though, that's like a unified space that allows us to do all sorts of cool shit.
Yeah.
And like definitely, obviously it spins into all the monetization, all that stuff, but this way of platform thinking almost like generates more opportunities. That's just, it's never ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless we end, I guess. Or no, we want it because the team, like we're building this to kind of carry on. It's not the Matt and Joe name throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. I think there's actually in those statements, I feel like there's two things there.
It's probably more, but
two kind of core things, right?
Yeah.
So you've got the concept of build a system that, you know, cranks out content that gets you new introductions to people, like system, because so basically we've got the podcast, and what the podcast does is it systematizes the networking. We get introduced to new people every single day of our lives now because of the podcast, right? It creates content for our brand every single day. There's new YouTube videos, new audios, new things on Instagram, new wherever this content is going.
Don't even know anymore.
There's like new pieces of content every single day because we've built this machine. We're making money off of this machine because we've gotten it to a point where sponsors are interested. And that kind of pivots to like the second thing there, which is if you focus on building a platform where you have a lot of attention, like focus on building a brand or a platform with a lot of attention on it. Now you have this like infinite ways of monetizing it, right? People can now buy the attention off of you. So if you build a platform, you build a brand, people can now buy attention from you. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you become as you build a platform, is a merchant of attention.
For sure. Yeah. And speaking directly to my younger self now, because this is not your younger self, Matthew. My younger self did not build an email list consistently throughout the years. I remember in the very beginning when we learned in we know the first mentorship in Alex Jeffries' training is I think I built a list like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that was cool. And it was pretty easy. And guess what? I was making money. And all of a sudden I got, you know, the whole like client thing. And I completely forgot to start or keep building my own personal email list that I can communicate directly with people that trusted me. And I instead just ignored them and then went over and started doing client work, piecemeal work, which is fine because the money was great. But then when the money was not there, like the deal flow or the referrals, I would chat with you, and then like you had a list of, I don't know, let's call it 10,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not long after that, you know, and I don't know how long it took you to get there, but probably not that long knowing you. And like we were doing ad swaps all the
time. I don't remember. Yeah. Like that whole
time. I remember very clearly it was like 1,000 for me, but you always, maybe it's like 5K.
Yeah.
And, but you had like people that were actually paying attention and you were just selling consistently.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I think we were earning roughly about the same amount for a while during those phases, but we had completely different routes.
Yeah, yours were kind of like big pops when a new client came on board. Mine were kind of like small daily increments that just dripped out throughout the month.
Exactly. And to my younger self, like still I get the excited, and they're like, oh man, yeah, freaking, you know, tens of $1,000 contract, bam, you know, like that's cool. But then, then there's nothing in between for those kind of client things. A lot of agency work is like that.
Yeah.
But like, so speaking to my younger self, build the damn list and consistently build that thing and stay in front of them, at least send an email like weekly.
Yeah.
Well, build your damn email list.
I would say my younger self would tell that to the self that's younger than that self that just got told. Because
because
like I started building an email list in about 2009, but we started doing internet marketing kind of stuff around 2005-ish, right? Like I was building websites for clients in 2005. You and I started our blog in 2007.
Yeah.
So around 2005, like I wish I had started building an email list even earlier, right? Like,
of course, man. I mean, earlier the better. But speaking to anyone listening right now, if you don't have an email list, and if you do, and you're not staying in front of them weekly, with something, just do it.
That's the other damn thing. And when I was building an email list, I'd go phases where I was very uncomfortable emailing the list, right? And so I would I'd built a list at one point to like 10,000 subscribers, and I was emailing it and making sales, and then I started getting in my head about like, I think I'm emailing them too much. They're probably going to stop. I'm probably going to have I was so worried about people unsubscribing from my email list that I would like avoid emailing the list because I was afraid of unsubscribes. And then what happens is if you do that for long enough, when you finally do mail your list, the list is like, who are you again?
Crickets.
Yeah.
Man. And how crazy.
So mail the damn list if you do have it.
Yeah. It's just crazy logic if you think about it. The way you just said it, like that's what probably most people go through. It's not the fact that it's not working, because usually if you have a pretty good list, guess what? You can cultivate, like, there's interest involved.
Yeah.
It's odds. Like, someone's going to take an action and do something, or at least they're going to give you feedback and tell you what they want. But, yeah, so point of the matter is, grow the list, email the list.
Yeah.
And give them value, of course, but that's just an unsaid thing.
Yeah. I mean, the growing the list, that's kind of like a very tangible, like tactical thing that we would tell ourselves.
Totally.
But, you know, saying that, I think another piece of advice I'd give my younger self is spend less time focusing on tactics, right? Like, I think a lot of times I would get so hung up on this tactic to drive traffic, and I would go all in on it, and then it would work really well, and then that thing would not work as well as it used to be. So like SEO, for example, I would do all this SEO stuff. You know, back in the day, I was getting really poor advice to do things like buy backlinks from Fiverr and stuff like that. And it was working, and it worked really, really well. And I'm like, this is it. I'm just going to put all my focus and time on growing through SEO using these I didn't know they were shady at the time, but using these sort of like black hat-ish tactics of buying backlinks from Fiverr. And,
The days,
you know, and that was working for my business. And then one day Google went, we're going to start penalizing people who did that. And they figured out how to reverse engineer who was doing that. They penalize them. Now all of my traffic that I'd spent all this time on SEO on, gone. That traffic just disappeared overnight. I'm like starting from scratch, basically. Right. So like, don't get hung up on tactics, like get hung up on the big picture. But you know, what's the Bezos quote? Like be strict on the vision, but flexible on the path or something like that. Yeah. On the details, flexible on the details, I think.
Yeah.
Like that I think is really, really important. Is like, don't get hung up on any one tactic. Play with a bunch of tactics, have, you know, multiple buckets of ways people are finding out about you so that you're not stuck with a single point of failure.
I like that. Yeah, that reminds me of, because I did hear something attributed to Bezos the other day talking about the amount of failures he's had, failures in quotes, you know, for growing Amazon. And he's like, I really hope that we're going to have a lot more failures in the future too.
Yeah, I told you that. And that was the founder of Netflix who said that.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, it was Netflix. Damn it.
Yeah,
you're right. I was thinking, Bezos, Netflix are all the same.
No. That was from the Psychology of Money book, which we are going to do a whole episode about that at some point. Maybe it's
because I'm reading that book too. So I'm just like, geez.
Yeah.
A lot of input there. But yeah. Shoot, there was a bigger point there. It's more of the, you know, not the detail. So talking to my younger self kind of on that vein is to, get out of my own way when it comes to being perfect on execution of the thing or whatever it is. Like, do a good job. Do a really good job. Do the best things I possibly can. But think of the bigger picture of where I'm headed. And, you know, that could be back to myself when I was doing client work. Contain that within the client. So like, what's the end result that client wants to get out of this thing? Well, that's the goal. It's not to make this little thing on a page look very pretty, because like, who cares? The client doesn't care, you know, the results over here. But same goes for my own journey, is where the hell am I going this year, you know, this week, but like maybe in 5 years, roughly where am I going? What's the vision look like? And I think that for so long now I'm a lot more clear. I don't think it's ever perfect, maybe, But I didn't really have a vision for that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know where to even steer the details. So I think I would put too much emphasis of perfection on the detail. Mm-hmm. That would sometimes make me either overwork or avoid the thing because I was overthinking it, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, it's just like paying too much attention to the details.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would... Don't do that! Focus on the big picture.
Yeah.
And have fun along the way.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any other things that...
Scream in detail.
Right, yeah.
So here's another one for us. Mm-hmm. Is work together with people more often. Mm-hmm. Like we're in this office here together. We got this partially, you know, mainly for a quiet space to have to create content, mm-hmm. but also for me to have some quiet space, but really for us to like get together and collaborate and brainstorm and co-create other stuff, strategize. Mm-hmm. You and I have always done that well.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people do that well in person with people, you know, instead of just trying to do everything remote. Mm-hmm. So I think getting in the room together and actually like collaborating, if it's not your business partner, it's like you getting into a mastermind and collaborating with your friends and brainstorming, going on the beach and freaking walking and talking something out. But I think like that was, for me, for a long time, I didn't do that. But I think when you and I work together, and I know whenever we mastermind with anyone, everyone always gets way better value than... you know, just doing some Zoom stuff or just kind of siloing it up and trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I would say along
collaboration.
Collaboration. And along the same lines, this is speaking more to my younger self, mm-hmm. is don't be afraid to like get on the phone with people and get like feedback about the business, get ideas, get nice. For the longest time, I just wanted to be this sort of like hacker in my office, like, you know, in the dark room that just sits behind my computer and writes some code
with the hood on
and right? Money just enters my bank account because I'm sitting there like I'm hacking people's bank accounts. No, I'm sitting there building websites that generate like affiliate income and money just rolls in and like I don't have to ever talk to anybody because I'm a hermit. And like, you know, like in the early day, that's kind of like my vision of what I thought I was going to do. I was just going to be like, yeah. I mean, not like every day, like I have friends and go out and about and stuff, but I had this vision of just like sitting at my computer and I would throw up a web page and then I just start checking my bank account and then I'd put up another web page and now cha-ching, it'd be coming in at double the rate and like I never really wanted to talk to people, but then I didn't really start seeing big growth in a lot of the online stuff that I was doing until I started getting on calls with people who bought my products and been like, what do you like about it, what don't you like about it, how can I improve it, right? I was almost afraid to talk to the people that bought the stuff that I was putting out there because I didn't want to hear the negative feedback. But then like once you actually start getting more feedback from customers and finding out what people want and actually improve and make more sales and people refer you and people go, oh man, these guys really listen to me when I make suggestions, and so now I'm going to support them any way I can, and you build super fans and then you get rich and famous. I didn't know where to end the rant, so I just ended it there.
Take a breath. Down low.
So, that was all good. That to say, talk to people on the phone talk and stuff. To people.
Collaborate.
Yeah, collaborate.
Collaboration.
Yeah. Stop. Man. Collaborate and listen.
That's it. So that's good feedback.
Yeah.
That's very good feedback. Thinking of other glaring one, I would say another one for myself is actually trust myself. If I feel like I have pretty good read on things and I feel like I can take this thing on and there's a way, go do the damn thing. Just do the thing. If I have an idea or if I see the vision for it, then most likely there's a way to get to that vision because I've been able to quantify it or make it tangible in my mind. Pretty damn sure if Elon can do some crazy shit like, you know, go to Mars or try to go to Mars, almost going to Mars. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he's at with the attempt. Oh yeah, NASA landed on Mars, not Elon yet. But you know, like I just think, okay, well, just do the damn thing. Mm-hmm. Like send the email, call the person, launch the product, I already said send the email, but maybe that's another one to tell myself, send the damn email, listen to me the first time. But like, just do the thing. I think a lot of us, and for me, I have and sometimes will overthink things. So just do the dang thing.
Do the dang thing. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. What else? Should we do some questions? We
can. Yeah. Let's pop some questions up, and then if any other pieces of advice pop up into our head, we could be like, oh yeah, I got another one.
Yeah.
In the middle of answering questions,
we can do that.
We make
the rules. It's our damn show, Matt.
We make the rules.
Yes, we do. Okay. All right. So this is from Angela. I don't know Angela's last name. I will read the question. What always sucks the most for me is not having time and skills to market what we are doing and seeing friends and family use other realtors than us because they aren't aware we are available or they think that we have enough money. Nice. That we don't need the business. Also finding properties and materials for a reasonable price in this crazy market. We probably can't help you with the last sentence.
That's definitely not our expertise. But the first part sounded like you need help staying top of mind, right? Like you want to be thought of when people need a realtor,
for
right?
Sure.
As far as like the housing market and where to find properties, A, we're probably not in the same market as you, and B, we wouldn't know what we were talking about even if we were.
That's
so.
Correct. That is all absolutely true, Angela. So apologize. Apologies on our side of things there.
Yeah.
But let's try to answer your question because it does suck that people aren't thinking about you. And if you are, if you don't need the money, great. But if you do need the money, great. Let's make this thing happen, huh? And they should be thinking of you and giving you the money, not those other people. So family and friends, it seems like you're in that, like, let's get some other, I would say expand the, think about where you can expand the referral network rather than family and friends. Are there other, you know, how about clients? Are clients in there? Previous clients?
Well, I just know, so I'm just kind of speaking from personal experience. It's almost like if I have family members that are like realtors or you know, various professions that I would need help with, a lot of times I actually avoid them because I'm like, if there's ever any sort of conflict in the business or things don't work out, then I don't want that to create like strife in the family or strife in the friendship, right? Like my parents, when they sold one of the houses I lived in when we were growing up, they actually went to one of their friends who was a realtor to sell the house. And they were trying to do him a favor because, you know, I guess maybe they thought he needed the business or something. I don't remember. I was a kid, but, the guy, he basically like put up a for sale sign in the front of our house and like that was it. Like my parents went on like the MLS like 2 weeks later and it still wasn't like listed, and he was dropping the ball on a whole bunch of stuff. And then at the end of it, my parents had to fire him and bring in another realtor because he was like literally doing nothing, and it just like destroyed this friendship. Right. You know, I have another scenario that's even closer to home with another realtor situation, but I'm not gonna, you know who I'm talking about, but I'm not gonna get into that. But I almost feel like family members and friends, they may not be so hesitant to not go to you because they're, you know, they think you have enough money already or you're not top of mind. I would be willing to bet it's actually more kind of that scenario of like entering professional relationships where there's these expectations with family members or friends can a lot of times create some strife on the relationship. And a lot of people are hesitant to do that. So I know, speaking from experience, I probably would steer away from working with friends and family.
I would agree with that. And I haven't had that kind of issue, but there's definitely realtors in our family where we have not always used them. It depends on the scenario, of course, but that's what I was thinking. Get clients, you know, if you don't have a client referral system or a way to, you know, reward them, get them to think of you. I mean, I'm thinking back to the realtor that helped us with our last two, well, one of our rentals and then also, it was something, I think we worked with her twice. I forget the circum, but like, they're so damn good. Like they're sending emails to us all the time. They're, you know, it's just different, you know, little helpful things. It's not even like focused on a specific house thing. It might be completely something, but there might be opportunities to still refer them to others, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when we bought the house that we're in now, the realtor that we were working through, we really, really liked. She was somebody that we didn't know. She kind of came through a recommendation. And you know, after the whole transaction was done, she was like, if you know anybody else that's looking to, you know, buy or sell a house, you know, can you let me know? And, you know, I'll find some way to thank you. I don't remember if she was like explicit in saying what she would do to thank us or not, but I remember she said like, I'd thank you for it. Right.
Hook you up. I mean, I don't know the legalities between.
Yeah, I don't either. That's why I'm being sort of vague here, but
for sure.
You know, she basically asked for more referrals. And so my, when my sister was looking for a house, mm-hmm. we referred them to her and she helped them buy their current house. And then as a thank you, we got like a $500 Amazon gift card in the mail or something like that. And now I'm just like, if we know anybody that wants a house, I'm pointing them her way.
See,
you know?
So, I mean, yeah. So there we go. I'd be doing stuff like that.
It doesn't hurt that we, both me and my sister, we all had good experiences and
do great work.
Do good work. Yeah. Obviously that should go without saying.
But. Yeah. So, I mean, like I believe there's a lot of realtors out there. So it's like, just figure out how to be like the unique one, the one that like is memorable, like something that's going to stand out. That's going to keep you top of mind. It could be that maybe you have a podcast,
maybe you have a blog.
Maybe you have a blog. Maybe you wrote a book. I feel like you just need like one thing.
Yeah.
Something different.
When it's sort of like a commodity kind of thing where there's a lot of them out there and your competition is like, you know, a lot of people in like probably serving the same community. You just got to find those like marginal things that help you stand out for them.
Yeah. And then get the referrals and then you create that little machine. Yeah. Study some of Jay Abraham's stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, all of his referral mastery stuff, his book, the blue book, I'm blanking on the name.
I don't know. I've always heard it called the Mr. X book.
Yeah. Mr. X book. Well, I'm sure we'll link it.
But I don't know if it's easy to come by though is the problem.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah. Whatever you can find on referral stuff from him, I think would help.
Jay Abraham's just got good stuff. Like anything by him is probably a good way to go.
Cool, Angela. Hopefully that helped you. Now, this one is from Dusty. All right. What sucks the most for me is, sorry to say it, sales and marketing. Dusty. All right. You're forgiven. The solution is obviously to hire someone who is good at these, but who? I've been hiring sales agencies and direct sales guys with varying results. Not sure what to do next. I think this is a common problem. I'd be interested in what you think. We don't know the industry you're in, unfortunately, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Hiring sales, I think it's probably the solution. It might not be hiring this out, but maybe it's some other form of looking at the problem,
like a referral system, like the way affiliate,
another one.
The way you do like affiliate marketing, right? Like you give it's hard to really give solid advice without knowing what niche and what you're selling. And I don't know if it's a service or a product or e-commerce or like, you know, I don't know,
we can be vague here and still put general, like,
yeah, I mean, we know a few products where the products sell like millions of dollars a year based and the company themselves does like no marketing, right? Mm-hmm. They've got their web page, right? But they do nothing to drive traffic into their web page other than round like recruiting affiliates to come in and promote it, right? So now they get to just focus on making their products better and better and then working with like a copywriter or something to improve the sales message on their sales page. But other than like that side of things, they lean heavily on affiliates. And now your affiliates become the people that are doing the SEO. Your affiliates become the people that are running Facebook ads for you. Your affiliates are the people that are running Google ads. They're the ones doing organic social media. They're the ones, you know, doing all of these different things. You let the affiliates go and be that little army of people that are doing all of the marketing tactical stuff you've heard of, right? Because that's what affiliates do. They, you know, some affiliates specialize on SEO. Like most of the affiliates we've had on our podcast in the past have put a lot of focus on SEO. Some affiliates like us focus on paid advertising, Facebook and Google ads, right? Some affiliates focus on like a real heavy focus on email marketing, grow the list, promote stuff to the list, right? If you just focus on the back end, like creating a better and better service or product or whatever you're doing, and focus on maybe hiring a copywriter to dial in the messaging, build a team to do all the tactical stuff, but do it in a way where they're affiliates and you only pay them if they make the sale, right?
That's the coolest part is it's not an agency where you're on the hook every month. Maybe the sales agencies, not sure how they worked, or direct sales guys is probably paid on commission. But still, it's the referrals are going to probably, it's probably the type of leads coming in. It's the type, maybe looking at the sales process is also another thing to deep dive into. Because, you know, looking at the order of how people come into and find you and then how they're talking with the sales agencies or direct sales folks, you know, it could be the way that you're finding the leads. Are you doing partnerships, you know, where they're coming from a warmer source? Or are you doing cold leads? Are you, you know, are you getting some random leads and just buying email lists and hitting them up? Like, that's probably not going to be great results.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have affiliate partners, people who know your brand, know your story, maybe know you more so personally too, then they can then spin their sales magic to their audiences or even find more audiences on your behalf and would be more than happy to take a percentage of the sale.
Yeah, yeah.
Something on results.
Another thing that you know, yes, it's marketing, but if you enjoy what you do and you enjoy talking about what you sell, go on a bunch of podcasts. Like, let that be the marketing, right? Go
be the evangelist and be excited about your thing.
I don't know if the numbers hit 2 million yet, but I think it's getting close to 2 million podcasts out there, right? There's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And you can let going on, like, if you like telling your story and talking about what you do, you can make your business strategy just going on every podcast that feels relevant to your industry. And that's your marketing plan. That works for people. Like, Scott Carson, he's got other marketing stuff that he does, but he's a machine when it comes to getting on podcasts. Uh-huh. And he's been on freaking every podcast you can imagine at this point.
He's radios too. Mm-hmm. Like, he has it distributed everywhere. So so that goes back to the platform thinking again, is if you leverage
other people's platform, buy the attention off of them.
If you don't have your own platform, leverage other people's. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, everyone can do that. You don't have to own your platform. It's more valuable if you do, but it takes more time and money.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyone can go. And that's why you heard so many of us raving about Clubhouse.
Mm.
You know, it was a brand new platform that everyone saw as almost like an even playing ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you just happen to have a bunch of influencers in there. So if you pair up with the right people, like the right salesperson or sales agency where they like what you're doing and they believe in you and they're really good at what they do, then hot dog. Then you could probably make a lot of sales because you now have an evangelist that actually knows what they're doing and knows what you stand for. But yeah, it goes back to what do you do best, and then leverage other platforms probably right now.
Yeah.
And figure out where do your people live? Where do they live online or offline, wherever it is.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably the best advice we can give given the information we got.
There you go, Dusty. All right. One more from this list and then two more in total.
Okay.
We're doing good. Doing good here. All right. Wow. Matt and Joe. Joe and Matt. This is funny. Luis, you're hilarious. This is pure awesomeness. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Here are my questions. Questions? Who said you?
You get one.
Can we do multiple? All right. Pushing it.
They're probably closely related, so it should be all right.
It looks like they are. There's actually one and then two nested below. Three questions. All righty. All right. So how can I drive organic traffic to my blog and to my podcast episodes?
Okay, what are the other parts? I just want to know if they're all related. Or
when talking about my blog, I obviously mean to my website.
Okay, so that's not a question.
And then when talking about my podcast, I mean downloads and subscriptions from podcast apps like Google, Apple, Spotify, etc.
That's not three questions. That's just clarifying the first question.
Sorry, I threw you under the bus, Lewis. So as well as visits to the show notes located on my blog. So essentially, drive more traffic to the pages.
Okay.
So show notes pages.
That's a pretty big topic. We have a lot of episodes about that kind of stuff, but
we have some ideas, and we were just talking about this, Matt, and something that we're about to scheme up. So maybe we share all right.
Don't share more scheming.
So that's it. Hell,
don't tell them how much we're going to use conversion.ai to create a content marketing strategy using automation.
He needs traffic and subscribers to eventually create regular customers. I want to be able to reach to a point where there's small online business procedures are predictable and consistent revenue. The business size can stay small, and I want to keep things simple. Okay, cool. Yeah, I want to grow revenue. Basically, the best way of thinking. Just consistent growth over time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, the traffic topic is, you know, it's a big topic.
A lot there.
You know, we put a lot of focus on SEO and paid ads, really. That's where pretty much all of our traffic comes from, is trying to rank our podcast episodes and our blog posts, and then driving, you know, Google ad traffic and Facebook ad traffic to specific pieces of content.
Right. Yeah, that's like the most consistent stuff that we have going on.
Yeah, that's like, that's, you know, and now with Podhacker, we have affiliates who drive traffic for us as well. But that's kind of a newer thing for us.
Some other stuff we have floating around on the fringes are the referral traffic. So
and going on a lot of podcasts.
Going on other podcasts, getting featured on wherever that might be published online, PR, articles. We get featured in, actually, I just wrote up something earlier for our buddy Matt McWilliams for this monthly report he sends to his customers. So that's an opportunity that we're getting featured to his customers. So it's, yeah, all these things were, I guess those types of things, it's like integrations we like to do to get warmer traffic. It's like that referral traffic isn't cold organic, you know, it's kind of like closer.
I think Luis, I feel like he might be in our Podhacker.
I don't know.
But if if you're not in the Podhacker, you should get in it because like we literally break down how we do exactly what you're asking. Like I'll try to go a little bit high level here. But, you know, the way we do SEO with our podcast is we really focus on trying to, like, rank for the guest name right now. So we have a lot of podcast guests, obviously. We're doing less and less guests. But when we do bring guests on now, we put a lot of focus on, like, optimizing the landing page for that guest name. Like, that's the keywords we're optimizing for. And that seems to work really well. So, like, when people go and search for, like, Roland Frazier, for instance, we show up on the first page of Google, I think, with two of our episodes with him, right? Like, you know,
for a while,
at least. a lot of the names that of people on our show, if you search their name, we rank. So we are where people learn about other people through SEO, right? So that was kind of a big focus on the SEO side. And then on the paid side, we've talked about this in the past where we have a blog post that are like top 10 podcasts to listen to in 2021. And then, of course, one of the 10 podcasts is our own podcast. And we drive Google ad traffic to that for people who search best business podcast, best marketing podcast, things like that. So that's a kind of a sneaky way we're using Google ads. And then Facebook ads, a lot of times we'll just boost the post on Facebook. We'll essentially share a link to a post inside of our Facebook group, and then we'll share it onto our Facebook page, and then we'll go and throw, you know, a dollar a day for like a month at this post. So we're getting like trickles of traffic to this post. And so we're doing that kind of thing to get traffic. But keep in mind the big idea here and the reason you'd be willing to pay for this traffic to the content is ideally you're building an email list off the content. Definitely. You got to have a, you know, a slide in through like ConvertBox or something like that, or an exit intent or some way to capture the emails so that when you are buying traffic to content, you're not buying traffic to people that are just going to visit your site once and never come back. You're buying traffic so they'll read the content, opt into your list to get more content like what you showed them, and now you can bring them back via the email list in the future.
Yeah. So all that core business stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's I think Podhacker would be for you. You might already be in there though.
Yeah.
But yeah, go check it out. But I think that's good advice. And honestly, when it comes to podcasts, it's like just look at, I mean, when it comes to the page, yeah, it's not like a podcast strategy for growth there. There's other strategies to grow the podcast, of course. But yeah, look at some other the other episodes we probably have had, our action guides.
Yeah. And then, well, you know, the other thing for growing a podcast specific, I mean, it works for a blog, or a podcast, but going on other people's podcasts in like the related niche and just doing a lot of interviews, you get both a backlink typically. So that helps with SEO. But then you also get in front of another audience that ideally, if you're providing good content to their audience, they're going to want to come join your audience.
Yeah, and hopefully they're sharing it around to their peeps, all that stuff.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Last question we got for today. It's all the time we got. I know it was a million we had to choose from, but we got to stop it right here.
No exaggerating at all.
We got to stop it right here. All right. Winston Whittles, my San Diego friend. Sweet. He says, oh, this is a long one, by the way. So I don't know where the question is. So I'm just going to read this. I actually don't see it. Oh, no, there's a question mark at the very end. All right. Hold, please.
Okay.
Well, I'm building out different clubs for my overall brand, such as Author Club, Podcast Club, Rocket Club, etc. We'll each have its own resource pages with links to my affiliates and my own products and services. Also, a Facebook group for members for each club. Specifically, right now, I'm working on the Podcast Club. I have a page on my website where all the resources and the links, Podhacker affiliate, thank you. I am going through and creating a blog post for each one. I took these descriptions and links and I created a resource guide to use as a free opt-in for an ebook. My question is, am I giving too much away for free?
No.
Where do you think I should put up a paywall, if at all? My thinking was at first was just to have a free ungated access to the resource page so I can get more clicks to my affiliates. But now I'm thinking maybe I should do a members only and require an email address. Or maybe I should sell a membership as a tripwire. Maybe $5 to $7. Thanks for any help or guidance. Mm. So you initially said no. Why did you say that?
Because I'm a proponent of putting out as much content as humanly possible for free.
Content wants to be free, right?
I do believe that. I do.
In most scenarios, yeah.
Or
do we not want to open up that?
I mean, this could be a deeper topic. I mean, questions like this could almost be like the spark that starts a whole other episode. But yeah, I mean, it's a beefy one. Yeah, we could touch on this one briefly, but this might be a whole one where we go a little bit deeper on next Tuesday or something. All right.
Well, let's do quick thoughts on this.
Yeah, so I sort of believe that, you know, content wants to be free. And what we're doing as a service and what people pay us for is to get that content carefully curated to them in a way that is easier for them to sort of process and make the work actually happen, mm-hmm. right? So like a lot of the stuff that we teach inside of Pod Hacker, for example, you can go back through our almost 400 episodes now and probably piece together all of the strategies across 400 different episodes. You could probably go to our YouTube channel and, you know, piece together 40 different clips of times we've talked about these podcast growth strategies, mm-hmm. their podcast monetization strategies. You can go listen to us on other podcasts we've been on where we've broken down some of our strategies, but you already can hear the problem with that, right? Like you've got so many different places that you can extract this content from that it's not going to be in this sort of linear fashion where I can go and execute and integrate this into my business, mm-hmm. because you're kind of pulling it from all of these different places. So as like Pod Hacker, getting in Pod Hacker, what you're really buying is like, here's the order to do it in. Here's step one, go do this, come back. Okay, here's step two, now go do this step. And so it's our way of hand-holding you through the same type of content that is freely available if you really wanted to do all of the digging all over the place.
So it's more of a curation rather than a unique content behind a paywall.
Right, and then model. Look at our Evergreen Profits membership, which we're going to rebrand as Hustle and Flowchart soon. Mm-hmm. But our Evergreen Profits membership right now, literally 95% of the content that you get when you sign up for an Evergreen Profits membership is content that's freely available on this podcast.
Sure.
And we say it on the sales page. It says, this is the content from our podcast, mm-hmm. right? Like we're telling you this content is on our podcast. You can go listen to our podcast and get the same content, uh-huh. right? But people pay us every single month to get the action guides from the content. Yeah. People buy the shortcut from us. They're buying the time savings of, you know, maybe you don't have time to listen to 2+ hours of audio content per week. Now you can get an action guide and get 8 to 9 episodes in a printed, easy to read format, mm-hmm. right? We're selling the same content that's freely available. We're just changing the packaging so it's easier for you to consume and integrate into your life or business.
Yeah.
And so that's why I believe like anybody who ever asks, like, am I putting out too much content? No, you're not.
You're not at all. Yeah. Yeah. I guess whenever you think that question, just think of how you can think opposite of that scenario.
Yeah.
Or that outcome that you might have came to, because I feel like, yeah, when you challenge that, it forces you to figure out a more innovative way to grow an email list. In this case, you know, it sounds like the intention is grow an email list, but you also want to make sales as an affiliate. Like that's kind of, it seems like the thing here. So if there's a different, you know, back to Winston's question, if there's an author club, podcast club, rocket club, all these things, well, maybe each one of those things can have some type of opt-in mechanism, but mm-hmm. you're giving away the thing that is the most attractive whatever to that club, mm-hmm. you know, to that audience specifically. And you know, whatever your intention is for this group, obviously it's probably in line with that somehow, mm-hmm. and give them what the Travis Sago thing, give them like the chocolate covered broccoli, make that your free opt-in, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it might be. And it's probably not an ebook because that kind of sounds lame.
Now what's the concept of
like a cheat sheet or a guide or something like that. It's the concept.
What's the concept of a club? Like how did he describe a club?
Also a Facebook group for members. I think a club, overall brand. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not totally following like what the club concept is it like, are you talking like a clubhouse club, or is it like a Facebook group, or is it a member? Yeah,
I think it's not in a clubhouse. Don't worry.
Gotcha.
Or I don't think so, at least.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on exactly like what he's doing right now, but think of other ways you could package the same stuff that is valuable to people. Like, you know, think about your own tendencies. Do you tend to listen to, you know, 3 hours of audio content per week, or do you tend to read more books and, you know, just want the Cliff's Notes, right? Think about the things that you would want to sort of save you time, or that would provide value in your life, that you can kind of spin your content and do the same stuff with, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
modality.
When it comes to Pod Hacker, it's a sort of step-by-step thing. And Pod Hacker is, you know, templates, right? Here's the emails we're going to send to people to get them on as guests. Mm-hmm. Here's the email we're going to send once they've been on the show. Here's the questionnaire that you can ask people right before they come on the show to find out what to talk about. Here's the template to use. Like, we're basically saying, like, you can learn it all on the podcast, but do you want us to just like physically hand you all the assets that you need to do it? You're getting that also, right? So what else can you add to the existing content to just make it that much more valuable that people would want to pay for it? What's a way that you can repackage your content? If it's audio, repackage it as video and maybe just sell the video. Like, that's what Andrew Warner at Mixergy used to do. You know, if you do a lot of blog posts, can you turn those blog posts into videos and sell the videos? Can you turn the blog posts into audios and, you know, sell the audios in some way? What's another medium that you could take that same content, repurpose it into another medium that some people might prefer, and they're willing to spend money to get their preferred medium of that content? You know, so you can always think in that direction as far as a monetization. Like, what's a different avenue I can present the same content with? And then also, you know, he alluded to affiliate marketing. That's been our game plan. We're just kind of like, we put out a ton of content, and ideally you're going to, you know, trust us. And when we say this tool is badass, you're going to go, Matt and Joe said that tool's badass, so I want it now, right? Like, we're trying to build that trust, that relationship through content, which allows us to sell a lot of affiliate products as well, which is another monetization strategy.
Yeah.
So that's my advice.
That's great advice. Hopefully I'd answered the question.
Shit. No, if he didn't, cool. If it didn't, you can come ask it again week. In a different way, and maybe we'll answer it on a different episode.
I like it. Sweet. All righty. Well, Winston, there you go.
There you go.
All righty. I think we have come to the conclusion of this here episode.
We're about an hour right now. We're
almost at it. So join the group so you can ask more of these questions if you would like to join. We'll do these weekly.
Yes.
And we'll probably get more emails out. I don't know. Just keep the questions coming. You don't need to stop. So
keep hustling so the questions keep flowing.
Throw them into flowchartgroup.com. That was good. go there, plug your email address in. If you haven't already, get the action guides to this episode, hopefully, if you're quick enough. Flowchartgroup.com. And get PodHacker. We talked about PodHacker a lot. Go to PodHacker.com.
Yeah.
You can even sign up for this cool little weekly newsletter we send out called PodHacker News. It's a weekly thing we send on Monday, and it's a curation because you trust us in what we curate, of course.
It's your single source of truth in the podcast world.
Because we hold the sword of truth in the podcasting world, Pod Hackers. Podhacker.com/news. Go check it out. It's free.
Yeah.
You can see what we're yapping around over there. Yes. And also, Easy Webinar. Tell me all about it, Mr. Matthew.
All about it?
All about it. Please, hit me.
Well, so back in 1981, I don't know, I'm just guessing, a boy named Casey Zeman was born.
Oh, wow.
And hopefully. Casey had aspirations.
Hopefully he's not younger than that.
I don't know. No comment. I do actually know kind of around his age range, but I'm not going to comment. Let's just say he's a good looking dude. He keeps himself in shape. Anyway, I'm supposed to be talking about Easy Webinar, not how much I respect Casey's biceps.
His physique. carry on, please. You're doing great.
Yeah, so Easy Webinar, it does all of your webinar needs, automated webinars, live webinars, hybrid webinars, all the webinars, the streaming, and you can record the webinars, you can put comments and interact with the people on the webinars, you can sell stuff and have little buy buttons pop up on the webinars, you can create the landing pages to get people registered for your webinars, you can build out the little emails that get sent when people register for the webinar. It basically does everything webinar.
It does everything webinar.
Everything webinar.
And it presents all of the stats of everything webinar.
Yes.
It's not called everythingwebinar.com, though. It's called Easy Webinar. But You want to go to easywebinar.com/hustle. Thank you, Matt. I really wanted that echo there. Mm-hmm. easywebinar.com/hustle. Of course he would. Jesus. Get your fat discount at that link. Don't go to the main URL. You can go there, but have fun spending more money.
Yeah.
Go to that slash
hustle.
There you go. easywebinar.com before that. Ha, I tricked him.
Big discount. easywebinar.com/hustle.
Do we have a new review, Matt? I don't think we do.
We did have another review come in recently.
Did we? Okay. Well, I haven't pulled it up, but I should do that really fast. Hold on one sec.
Really fast so we can read it.
Really fast.
The internet.
What else is coming up, Matt? What are you excited about? Come on, burn some time for a second.
I'm excited about everything. Everything excites me.
Tell me more about this exciting thing.
I'm excited about further getting this studio that we're sitting in decked out. I'm excited about figuring out ways to get people in person so that we can interview them across the table from us.
You know what I would like to, I'm excited to do is to change how we present our podcast in Apple Podcasts. We're not a tactical marketing podcast.
We were
at one time, but this is what we're
we're a little less tactical than we used to be.
How do you click the stars? Oh, there you go. No, geez, I can't even get to the see that.
Is this Apple Podcasts?
We can go down here. Yeah, it wasn't give me a quick. All right, no, we read this one last week,
did we?
Yeah. All right, well, let's do a, actually, you know what, some of these are different. Hold on.
Are you sure? I saw a new one come in.
Did you?
June
29th. Not even in July. We're making ourselves look like fools.
You people. Leave us a review.
Fools.
Everybody who listens probably already has left us a review.
I know.
And well, we're gonna cry ourselves
to sleep now. I don't know. Maybe we should just stop podcasting.
How many reviews do we have? Because that's probably how many listeners we actually have.
152,000. Uh-huh. So we have a lot. It's great.
I feel like you rounded up there a little bit.
I rounded up a couple. So if you can help a couple bros out.
Leave us a review. We'll read your reviews on the episode.
I know we've been so stringent about the 5-star rating thing. Well, you know what?
We'll even read 4 stars now.
We'll even read. We're stooping down to that. We're at the 4-star podcast. You know what? We're proud of it, Dan.
Are we just begging for reviews at this point?
Hell yes, we are.
The reviews don't even do anything.
You know what? It does something to my ego.
Dang it. True. That's all we want the reviews for, is so that we can have people say that they like us, and that makes us want to keep doing it.
We went far too long. It's already that time. We got to get the hell out of here.
All right. Bye, thanks, y'all. Everybody, for tuning in. See you next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.